Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be journeying through 2 Kings chapter 11. In this chapter, we'll see that as bad as things were going for the kingdom of Judah, God had a plan, as Jehu was attempting to take over both kingdoms. Meanwhile, in the southern kingdom of Judah, Athaliah, the queen mother, began to murder the whole of the royal family. Perhaps you're thinking, aw, she'd rather just, you know, do it mercifully by her own hands than have the trauma of them being killed in a barbaric fashion. Perhaps she killed them in their sleep or gave them a peaceful, painless death. And you'd be commended for thinking that because you're a nice person. You're a normal person. But Athaliah, she was not. She wanted to rule as the queen mother. Wasn't she a peach? But the servants stole away Joash, little baby Joash, next in line to the throne, and nursed him secretly in the temple of the Lord for 6 years. Jehoiada, the high priest, protected Joash and became his guardian, nursing him on a healthy diet of the fear and commandments of the Lord. And when he crowned him king, he handed him a copy of the covenant, something that hadn't been followed in a long time. Then verse 9 tells us, the commanders of units of 100 did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, and came to Jehoiada the priest. Then he gave the commanders the spears and the shields that had belonged to King David and that were in the temple of the Lord. The guards, each with weapon in hand, stationed themselves around the king near the altar in the temple from the south to the side of the temple. Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise made by the guards and the people, she went to the people at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by the pillar as the custom was. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her robes and called out, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders of the units of 100, who were in charge of the troops, bring her out between the ranks and put to the sword anyone who follows her. For the priest had said, she must not be put to death in the temple of the Lord. So they seized her as she reached the place where the horses entered the palace grounds, and there she was put to death. Jehoiada then made a covenant between the Lord and the people and the king that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people. All the people of the land went up to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and the idols to pieces and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada, the priest, posted guards at the temple of the Lord. He took with him the commanders of hundreds, the Kerites, the guards, and all the people of the land. And together they brought the king down from the temple of the Lord and went into the palace, entering by the way of the gate of the guards. And the king took his place on the royal throne. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was calm because Athaliah had been slain with the sword at the palace. And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Now, it's important to know that when a 7-year-old boy reigns and his guardian is the high priest, it really means that Jehoiada is going to be calling the shots and ruling and reigning through Joash. Verse 17 is particularly precious. Here, Joash renews the covenant, "We will be your people." Did you know, by the way, that you can do that at any time? Did you know that you can renew any covenant you've broken with the Lord at any time and decide to do what's right? In fact, that's the blessing of a covenant. A covenant is not a promise. It's not broken and over and done. A covenant is a binding agreement, a binding standard of the relationship that you enter into with another person. Just like marriage. Marriage is one of our modern covenants that says we honor this binding oath and this covenant between ourselves that we will strive to do these things, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. Now, any of the kings of Israel or Judah could have renewed the covenant or this marriage relationship with God. And whereas Joash renews the covenant with his people in the southern kingdom of Judah, Jehu up in the north falls just short of renewing that covenant with the Lord. Any of the kings of Israel or Judah could have done so, but Jehu decides not to and instead forge his own agenda. Do you know why you can renew the covenant at any time with God? Because you didn't earn it. You see, the covenant is an agreement made by two parties. As we've seen from Exodus through Judges all the way to this point, humans pretty much suck at keeping their end of the bargain. But God, my friend, always keeps his end of the bargain. So in our covenant, when Jesus came, he came to keep our end of the covenant or our end of the bargain with God. He obeyed God perfectly, taking our place in obedience to fulfill the demands of the law, impossible for you and I in our fallen state. But then he suffered on the cross, taking all of the punishments for the law we had broken. And all of this was outlined in the covenant. Jesus earns all the blessings we can't and takes all the punishment we should, or all of the curses. You see, the covenant was all about cursing and blessing. Jesus earned our blessing and took all of our cursing. And as we said many times on Through the Word, God didn't just keep his end of the bargain. By sending Jesus, he kept our end as well. And this was the one step that needed to be taken, and it's usually just the one step that's needed. And that is to, by faith, come to God and just simply confess and ask his forgiveness. Ask to start again. You know, even if you take 1,000 steps away from the Lord, it's only just one step back. That's why the Bible uses the term repent. That simply means to turn around and go the other direction. If you've walked 1,000 footsteps away from God, he won't make you walk 1,000 steps back. But be aware of this. Although we can be forgiven in an instant, abolishing the guilt of our sin, the Lord can even break the power of sin in your life, granting you power and victory over it. But make no mistake, the consequences during those 1,000 steps away from him, those kind of stick and remain. Those are the things that we have to reap. When the Bible says, make no mistake, be not deceived, for a man shall reap what he sows. That's why the Bible speaks of blessings for those who obey. There is a self-inflicted suffering. Just ask the alcoholic who turns back to Christ and gets sober. Their organs are still going to be mush, and their health problems shouldn't be wished on anyone. And I know, because that was the state of my own dad when he came to Christ 8 years before his death. He would have had a lot longer had he not spent all those years turning his organs to mush. So what about you? You don't have a nation to rule over, but you are the only one who can make the right decisions in your own life. That's your own little kingdom. And you can choose today to stand before the Lord with the covenant in your hands. The covenant that Jesus alone could fulfill. Fulfill the demands of and take the punishment for and allow him over you. Well, read 2 Kings chapter 11 today, and we'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.